So for sure, you know, a common kind of message that's being promoted is that organizations like ours are anti-development. And that's simply not the case. We're not anti-development. We just want development that's good, inclusive, and transparent. And, you know, that's not always the case when projects like this come up. And that's often the reason why we see ourselves in the courtroom more often than we should.
Mm. You mentioning there against development, and the first name that came to me when you mentioned that was Minister Gwede Mantashe, because I know that's one of the notions he likes to put out there as well. And when I think of Gwede Mantashe, I think of government's kind of confused look when it comes to climate targets, because on the one hand, you have an individual like Gwede Mantashe that is someone that sticks to the old school notion of fossil fuels. Then on the other hand, you have our president that makes promises on the international stage about becoming more climate or more green, but on the other end as well, still having an individual in his cabinet that is espousing notions of sticking to fossil fuels.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in South Africa, we find ourselves in a transition phase known as the just energy transition. And we really do need to be moving away from fossil fuels towards cleaner, renewable energy. Now, one of the major problems that we see is that historically, South Africa has always been more involved with fossil fuel developments, largely coal. And as a result, many of the community members have only seen these kinds of developments and what limited prosperity they might bring to a few individuals. So what we're trying to promote as a message is that even with clean, renewable energy developments, there can be economic opportunities, there can be development opportunities, and, you know, these skills can be found within the community, even if it means upskilling people. And once they see this, they'll realize that there is room for clean energy and that we should be heading in that direction. You know, not just in terms of domestic law, but even in terms of international law. South Africa has imperatives to reduce its greenhouse gases and its emissions and such.
I'm wondering then, what is the hindering factor in keeping our government with this archaic understanding of energy? What exactly is it that is curtailing South Africa's efforts to become more green in terms of our energy?
So, for instance, if we look at our court case and even recent submissions as well that we've made to various pieces of legislation like the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Amendment Bill, one thing that's hindering our development is that government is simply not applying enough energy towards environmental authorization applications. And as a result, even without meeting many of the requirements that are legally required, you know, these developments, they end up getting approved in any case. And when we make submissions, those submissions are often not properly addressed, not properly heard. And if we were treated, you know, at arm's length, you know, and actually heard, we wouldn't be going to court as often as we do. But unfortunately, we have to rely on judges to hear our submissions and therefore, you know, to set the record straight.
Is there any way, and I'm trying to understand this now, because you've mentioned that your organization has attempted numerous times to have these kind of conversations with government and you've only found success through the courts. What has the response usually been from government when you've approached them without the courts? What has the response been in terms of your complaints?
So in most instances, so there's a process beforehand, before an environmental authorization gets approved. Anyone who's an interested and affected party can make submissions if they feel the project shouldn't happen. And thereafter, the department and the minister either approve the project and gives it an environmental authorization or declines it. So if they approve it, there's another process where it's an internal appeal process where you can make further submissions against why the decision should be overlooked and overturned, and therefore the minister and the department can once again go back and review the decision. Now, in most of the instances, the internal appeal processes don't go in our favor. So, for instance, with our TISA 567 victory, one of the things that the court ruled was that it set aside the decision to dismiss our internal appeal, and it sent that back to the department for them to relook at it with specific parameters in place that they have to take into consideration. So that's usually what ends up happening. Our internal appeals get dismissed, usually for reasons that aren't substantive enough to actually hold water.
I'm wondering then, what is the way forward in terms of not only your organization's efforts, but also the organizations you partner with, to find a way to tackle this issue before it becomes too much of a problem, even though it is a problem, as you mentioned?
So I think the way forward is for a government that's more willing to engage with its people directly. And if that would happen, I think it would make the decision-making process a lot better, because more South Africans would have their say. We'd have an attitude of transparency where everybody knows what's going on. So, for instance, with our TITSA 567 court case, one of the issues in contention was that there's a document called an oil spill blowout contingency plan. And what that is essentially what Total or whoever's applying for the environmental authorization would do if there was something like a blowout or an oil spill. Now, that document was only made available after the environmental authorization was granted. So how can the public be said to have engaged properly with all of the information before them if they didn't know how Total would respond to an emergency plan? So it's this kind of lack of transparency that's really the major problem, and South Africans need to know what's going on, and they need to be able to make informed decisions about that and make their submissions.
Indeed. Mr. Singh, unfortunately, it's all the time we have. I ever want to thank you for coming onto our airwaves and having this conversation with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Shahil Singh, legal advisor at the Green Connection.